Roberts. This is The Last Word on 1070 The Fan, presented by Xfinity. From the Taco Bell studios, here's Jeffrey Gorman, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, and Matt Taylor.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to The Last Word here on 1070 The Fan. I'm Jeffrey Gorman. Jimmy Mad Dog Matus is here. Matt Taylor on the board. Fellas, we're a little more than a week out of the big game, and I am already getting excited.
Been excited. This is the time of the year. This is, you know, they shortened it to a week sometime back and then went back
that
to 2 weeks.
That didn't work.
It needs 2 weeks. 2 weeks, maybe it only needs 10 days, but they're not going to
I don't think it needs 2 weeks.
But they're not going to go Super Bowl Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe it does need 2 weeks, but it certainly needs more than one.
Jimmy, I'm glad you're here. Matt Taylor is here. Busy, jam-packed show, talking a lot of football. We'll have some college basketball as well, bringing you to the latest from the NFL. And it seems like that's what's on everybody's mind, the NFL and college basketball right now. We're certainly not talking baseball.
No, we're not, although.
Not hot stove in January.
Although Cincinnati just got the All-Star game for what, 2015?
2015, yes, sir.
So that came across this week.
I'll tell you what, let's go over some other headlines that are rolling around the world.
Let's get you updated on headlines.
Dateline Honolulu. Colts quarterback Andrew Luck will play in his first Pro Bowl on Sunday. And my question to you both very quickly, obviously he's replacing Tom Brady, another great one. Does he bring his notepad out to practice into the meetings and just kind of whatever Manning's chirping about that he'll take that down?
I think watching Andrew Luck, I think his notepad is always working. I think he listens to everything, soaks it in, and then maybe goes home and writes it down, or maybe doesn't have to write it down. He might have that kind of brain.
Yeah, he said yesterday on a conference call that he's going to treat this like a fun experience, but also he's going to try and pick a lot of receivers and other quarterbacks on the AFC squad's brains while he's down in Honolulu.
Plus the great number 18 is telling these guys, you better play hard. We want this game to stick around. Here is Andrew Luck from Honolulu.
Oh, yeah, they're very excited. You know, again, it's an honor to be here, to play in this game, the chance that I've never been to Hawaii before, a chance to go to Hawaii and, have a great time. I was very excited.
Dateline Honolulu.
Again?
Jeff Saturday announcing his retirement earlier today. Dog, you've been a Colts fan for a lot of years. Certainly will go down as one of the all-time greats.
And one of the all-time great men, ambassadors of the game, community leader. I've been very fortunate to be able to spend some time with Jeff and his wife, Karen, with some of their charitable acts. And there are not two better people that I've met. And so it's been a great career for Jeff. But I think it just starts what could be even more things done in his life, because he will go out and do some great things in the next several years.
Yeah, certainly will. And how about 1070 The Fan getting the exclusive, the Grady and Big Joe show today? Had Jeff Saturday on. He announced his retirement. And here's what he had to say.
I've had a great time. And like I told my family, it's been a lot of fun. But I think that's it, man. We'll finish it with sunsets in Hawaii and call it a much better career than I would have ever anticipated.
Dateline Indianapolis. Paul George headed to the NBA All-Star Game, and well-deserved.
Oh, without question. He has been the difference maker on this team. Can't wait to see when they get everybody back healthy, how that, when Granger's back, how they can mesh it together. But certainly deserves an All-Star bid. And when the coaches vote on it, you knew he was going to get in.
Although you mentioned Danny Granger, his injury could be a blessing in disguise for Paul George, because he's really come out of his shell this year, 17.3 points per game, about 8 rebounds a game. His assists are up there. He's getting a lot of steals. So this is a breakout year for the third-year pro.
Jimmy, don't get in a game of horse with Paul George. That's that's how good this kid is. Because I know you are set the standard when it's talking about pig and horse games in Indianapolis, but don't mess with this kid.
Actually, pig and horse isn't my game. It's get in the lane with no referees. You know, I'm good to go. I've got no conscience.
Bang some bodies, do you?
What are you going to do?
Layups or turnovers?
Dateline New Orleans. The New Orleans Hornets will officially change their name to the Pelicans. Guys, I throw it to you.
Well, if it wasn't going to be mosquitoes, I think Pelicans was the way to go.
Yeah, I think they went the right way instead of swamp dogs or bull sharks.
When I write mosquitoes, was up for consideration.
I think so. But I would love to see more NBA franchises or all franchises in sports do this when they relocate. What does Utah have to do with Jazz?
There you go.
And are there lakes in Los Angeles?
No,
I mean, I think this was a good move for this New Orleans franchise, and I would love to see Charlotte go back to being the Hornets now.
That makes sense.
Somebody's going to take mosquitoes, though.
Well, I promise you this, there's more mosquitoes in New Orleans than there is Pelicans, correct? Dateline, South Bend, Indiana. We are talking Manti Te'o. He apparently sent some flowers to the phantom funeral of the young woman believed to have died on September the 12th.
The phantom funeral.
The same day of the death of his grandmother. According to a receipt, he has shown several people. The receipt from 1-800-Flowers. It's one of the pieces of evidence that has produced an intent to prove that Lene was real, and
he thought she was real.
Yeah, he thought this was real, and this was just a catfish hoax.
We talked about this a week ago. It's starting to unfold the way I thought it would unfold and hoped it would unfold, that he got caught up with something, and then obviously to save face, made up a few things along the way, as many people would, and hopefully it'll just go away now.
Yeah, I think there's enough evidence out there to prove that Manti Te'o was more innocent in all of this than he was a part of the hoax. And what I just don't realize is how you don't know that you're talking to a man who's pretending to be a woman for 8 hours at a time.
Well, now that's coming back that maybe it was his little cousin or something, too. So I've heard some of the tapes, and it sounds like a girl to me.
Yeah? What if I called you tonight and tried to catfish you as Sandra?
Do. Please do. Please do.
I think I can get that done. Hey, I think dog. I can get it done.
Hey, dog. What are you wearing?
Do you have another dateline?
Dateline, Daytona Beach, Florida, and I say hubba hubba, boys. Danica Patrick, who is recently divorced, apparently dating a fellow driver. That young man's name is Ricky Stenhouse, and he is 25 years of age, and she is 30. I thought I had an outside chance with Danica.
That's why I go to the 500 every year, thinking I have a chance with Danica.
Okay, good for her. You know, if they're happy, I'm happy.
Well, this comes on the heels of another racing relationship. Isn't Elaine Irwin, the former wife of John Mellencamp, now dating Jay Penske?
Mm-hmm.
So I think everybody wins in that whole saga, because now Mellencamp's with Meg Ryan, and they have season tickets to every IU game, so I see them all the time supporting the Hoosiers. So I think everybody made out okay in all
Met
this.
Met her at several Colts games over the past few years. One of the nicest ladies. Honest.
Who, Danica?
Goodness. No, Elaine Irwin.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely
stunning. Danica's very nice as well.
Stunning to look at and very nice to boot. You got to love that combination. Dateline coming up. Don't go anywhere because we are jam-packed. We are talking to Marlon Jackson about some Super Bowl festivities that happened when he played in it a few years back. Plus, we're talking college basketball with Mike DeCourcy. All that and a whole lot more right here on The Last Word on 1070 The Fan.
This is The Last Word on 1070 The Fan, presented by Xfinity. From the Taco Bell studios, here's Jeffrey Corman, Jimmy Bad Dog Matus, and Matt Taylor.
Welcome back to The Last Word here on 1070 The Fan. Jimmy Mad Dog made us, Matt Taylor, I'm Gorman. Now it's time to look around the NFL, and we do that with NFL Quick Hits.
You know it all starts off foot. You know that. That's right. Let's go dominate.
Here you go, fellas. Blitz it here. Blitz time. Let's pick it up. Let's cash it now. Let's cash it.
They're going to come after you. You got to make them pay, y'all.
Let's get some NFL Quick Hits.
Quick hit number one, spike high, a slide. We saw it last week, Jimmy. Tom Brady, he got fined 10,000 clams for getting in the business with his cleats with Ed Reed.
I don't know about the fine. It should have been a penalty. We're screaming at the television. It's a penalty. Ty Cobb didn't get away with that.
Yeah, $10,000 is a little salty for me. I mean, the play's happening so fast. Brady's trying to slide. He sees Ed Reed barreling down on him. And Ed Reed is known for dirty,
little bit
malicious hits.
Little bit.
So he sticks his foot up just in
self-defense. The wrong move, yes, but $10,000, a little much.
Yeah, I don't know about the fine, but it should have been a flat.
Here's Baltimore Raven Bernard Pollard on Tom Brady's so-called slide.
When you slide, you know, obviously quarterbacks know when they slide. Everything's on the ground. He knew what he was doing. So, you know, I'm the type of player where, you know, it has to go both ways. It really do. It has to go both ways. And I think, you know, hopefully the NFL will do something about it. If they don't, you know, that's fine. If they do, then that's fine.
Blue 98.
Quick hit number two. Talk to me, brah. Jim and John Harbaugh have exchanged a handful of text messages, but they have not spoke, nor will they before kickoff in New Orleans. Jimmy, these brothers, I mean, they love each other. I love you, man. I love you, brother. We're not talking.
There's time for love on the day after the game, right? Now it's get your squads ready.
I don't know about you, Jimmy, but if I'm playing my brother in the Super Bowl, he's the enemy for a week.
I've seen you and your brother getting fights over ping pong.
And Gatorade.
Yes.
No doubt.
Quick hit number three. How about some effort? Come on, guys! The NFL is hoping to decide the fate of the Pro Bowl by the time it releases next season's schedule in April, and the fate of the league's All-Star game will largely depend on how much effort this year's participants put in the game. Play hard!
I'm fine with the Pro Bowl. It is what it is. It gives me something to watch. I'm good with it.
No, I'm not fine with the Pro Bowl.
Oh, come on!
I think the Pro Bowl is the worst out of all the four All-Star games.
Do you watch it at all?
No.
Not at all?
I forget that it's on. I don't watch it. And evidently, Peyton Manning gave a speech about how they owe it to the fans. They don't owe anything to the fans. Literally, they put their lives on the line 20 weeks out of the season. They don't owe us another game.
Manning said something apparently along the lines of, "Come on, guys! You better play freaking hard!" Here is Andrew Luck on Peyton Manning's speech to the players about the need to play hard in the Pro Bowl to ensure its future.
Yeah, you know, I was there, and, you know, obviously this being the first one, very new to it. I know, I guess, you know, some folks weren't happy with the play last year, but I think guys will take it upon themselves to keep this game going for hopefully many years to come and play hard. And, you know, I think it is part of our, you know, obligation or duty to make sure we play hard and this game continues.
Blue 98.
Quick hit number four, it's Peyton's place, and we're not talking about number 18. The NFL reinstated Saints coach Sean Payton from a season-long suspension as a result of the league's investigation into the team's bounty program. Jimmy, take it away.
For those who don't think coaching is important in the National Football League, I submit to you the New Orleans Saints.
Absolutely. There's some definite leverage there on the part of Sean Payton, and evidently there's some bad blood between he and former defensive coordinator Greg Williams. His name was not brought up in the over four-hour conversation that Peyton and Roger Goodell had this week. Doesn't want to talk about Williams and never wants to talk to Williams, especially about Bountygate.
Here is Sean Payton on the suspension being tough.
You feel frustrated because, look, the amount of time you spend together with the players and your fellow coaches is extraordinary. And, you know, they're like your family in a lot of ways. And so you want to see them do well.
Quick hit number five. Revis Island, is it relocating? Jets owner Woody Johnson has opened to trading star cornerback Darrelle Revis because he is pessimistic about his chances of re-signing Revis before he becomes a free agent next year. How about the knee he blew out, Jimmy?
Well, I think that is the key. He said they're looking into that possibility because it might be troublesome signing him, not because he doesn't think he's one of the better backs, defensive backs in the league.
Yeah, he's the Jets' best player. He's the best player they've had since the 60s with Joe Namath. So it would be a horrible PR move, I think, to let Revis go, although the bigger mistake was giving Mark Sanchez $9 million in the offseason. That's why they're in this position right now.
From ESPN New York, here's Rich Cimini. He's explaining why trading Darrelle Revis is a real possibility for the Jets.
What you have is almost a baseball-basketball kind of situation. You try to trade the guy before he becomes a free agent. That way you can get something instead of seeing him walk away for nothing. And that's what will happen next year if Revis becomes a free agent because, and this is critical to the story, they cannot use the franchise tag on him next year. That was negotiated into the contract in 2010 when he was a holdout.
Blue 98!
Quick hit number five, Caldwell's Calling. Former Colts head coach Jim Caldwell moved from quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator after coach John Harbaugh fired Cam Cameron, and he's done one whale of a job.
He sure has, and very, very happy for him. But have you seen a big difference in their play calling? Because I don't know that I have.
I think they're taking more chances down the field. Joe Flacco, I think, is the biggest difference as to why they're having success. Throw Jim Caldwell in there. But Joe Flacco, in back-to-back weeks, has outplayed Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and has not thrown an interception in the postseason. So he is on the cusp of becoming a younger quarterback to win the Super Bowl prior to Phil Simms' age when he did it. So the Ravens definitely have picked up their offensive production. And how about Cam Cameron this week coming out and saying that, hey, firing me was absolutely the right decision. I don't know if he really means that or not. But he's saying all the right things.
But is it play calling, or is it just a more comfort zone between these two guys?
Could be.
And that very well could get it done, and that is a good reason. Whatever it takes, right?
The first time Jim Caldwell has ever served as an offensive coordinator at any level. Here's Coach John Harbaugh on Jim Caldwell's promotion for next year.
He's a really solid football coach, first of all. He's a very, you know, he's been around. He's coached both sides of the ball. He's been a head coach. He's done it all, you know. But he's mainly a really good guy. You know, he's a good person, and I think he's genuine. He's to the point. He doesn't mince his words, and he coaches football, you know, from the beginning of the day until the end of the day, and the guys appreciate that.
That was NFL Quick Hits, a look around the league. You're listening to The Last Word. Jeffrey Gorman, Matt Taylor, and Jimmy Mad Dog Matus. Don't go anywhere. Coming back, we are going to talk with head coach Chuck Pagano. All that and a whole lot more right here on 1070 The Fan.
The Last Word, presented by Xfinity Returns with Jeffrey Gorman, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, and Matt Taylor from inside the Taco Bell studios.
Love the music on this show, Jimmy.
Digging it, rocking it.
Little Feet.
Matt Taylor, from Atlanta, Little Feet. Matt Taylor.
Good for you.
Like that you're digging in and you're getting good tunes on The Last Word. We need that. We need that all year.
It's Friday. Let's party for the weekend.
Best,
celebrate.
Best intro on radio. Our intro right here. I love it. The kid is good. This is The Last Word. That was NFL Quick Hits you heard earlier. We're going to talk to Marlon Jackson about some Super Bowl activities. Mike DeCourcy about some college basketball. And, of course, we're going to clock out. Earlier today, I had a chance to catch up with head coach Chuck Pagano. We went over a lot, folks. We went over last season, what to look forward in 2013, and how he's doing these days. It's tough to lose an offensive coordinator, especially when you're the caliber of Bruce Arians, and what a great job he did this past season.
Unbelievable job, and hate to lose Bruce, but again, when you win, good things happen to good people, and we wish Bruce and his wife Chris and their family nothing but the best and great success. He did a tremendous job.
Yeah, he was one of your first hires last year. That showed what he meant to you as far as a football mind go, but you understand how this business works. You were in this position last year at BA, got a call from Arizona. It's tough to turn down.
No, and you can't. You know, and he's been working for a long, long time, waiting for that phone call, like many of us, and he's got to go do that.
Well, what we've heard as far as his replacement goes, very talented young man, great football mind, got him from Stanford, the OC there, Pep Hamilton. What does he do so well, or what do you like about his career, his resume, that he's going to make a nice fit here as a new OC?
You know, he's got, great football mind. We're like-minded in the fact that he loves to run the football, thinks you have to be able to run the football. And I've said that from day one since coming here, is you got to be able to run the football and stop the run. Mm-hmm. He'll take his calculated shots down the field. First and foremost, he's going to protect the quarterback, mm-hmm. and make sure he's upright, and he's going to protect the football. So he's got a wealth of knowledge. He's a bright football coach, and I'm really looking forward to getting him in here full-time, getting with the staff, having him evaluate our personnel,
right.
Take a look what we have, what areas we need to address, you know, in the off-season, and then move forward with it.
So many talented players on this roster that you have right now, but the off-season, there's always change, and all I'm hearing around the circles is the Colts have so much money to spend. But you don't want to spend foolishly, if you will. Coach, is that something that you're going to look into with GM Ryan Grigson, the free agent opportunities that arise?
No, absolutely, and we're doing the same thing that everybody else is doing. Again, we'll get the staff back in here. You know, just got back from the Senior Bowl. But when free agency starts, we'll take a good look at what we've done, where our holes are, where areas of need, and then we'll go out there and we'll look. And we're not just going to, be frugal.
Right.
You know, we're going to be judicious, mm-hmm. With our money. And so much different than this year than last year,
sure.
Where we're sitting position-wise that way. So if there is somebody that can come in and it's a great fit for us on offense, defense, then we'll go make a move.
Coach, let's talk about 2012 off the football season. Obviously, we know that story. We know what you went through. You look absolutely wonderful, strong as an ox. How are you feeling right now in this offseason? You're still working long hours and getting ready for that training camp period.
I feel good, mm-hmm. you know, and coming back from the Senior Bowl, it was great because we had some long days down there, and it was good getting around and moving around and things like that. But just being back, you know, having that date targeted to get back for the Houston Texan game,
yeah.
coming back to work, you know, on Christmas Eve, getting back in the swing of things, I feel really good. I feel very blessed, obviously, to be where I'm at and trying to get some normalcy back mm-hmm. in my life.
Before I let you go, what's this team going to look like next year on both sides of the ball with the changes that have went on? Let's talk about first and foremost something near and dear to your heart. The defense. How do you like this defense to be for next year?
Well, obviously there was times where we looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to get, you know, we were hit with some injuries. We've got to get those guys back. You know, the Feely Moalas, all the guys that had the injuries, Gerard Powers, Pat Anger, we get everybody healthy.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to do a great job of being consistent. We've got to stop the run on a consistent basis. We faced, you know, a great number of running backs week in and week out.
Yeah.
And so there was times where we flashed and we looked really good. We just got to become more consistent. And I think another year in the system, another year terminology-wise, mm-hmm. the coaches being together for another year, the players hearing the same thing for another year, I look for a big jump in year two.
Can't wait, folks. We are in good hands with head coach Chuck Gano. I could talk to you all afternoon, but I know you're sick of me.
I could too, Jeffrey. Believe me.
That was Colts head coach Chuck Pagano from earlier today. If you missed that interview or we want to tell your sister or your boyfriend, you can find it on Colts.com. We are the last word. Matt Taylor, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus. I'm Jeffrey Gorman. We're coming back to talk a little NFL and some Super Bowl stuff with former Colt great Marlon Jackson. Don't go anywhere. This is The Last Word.
Get in the last word before the weekend. This is the Xfinity Last Word from inside the Taco Bell studio with Jeffrey Gorman, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, and Matt Taylor.
This is The Last Word. Time to talk some football. A lot of Indianapolis residents, Jimmy, remember this man. Wore number 28, played his ball at the University of Michigan. And I'll tell you what, a Super Bowl hero. Because of the AFC Championship game, I'm talking to Marlon Jackson. How are you, Marlon?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. I got to ask you this. We got Super Bowl upon us. You know, we're a little over a week out. You were here. You were one of the players that went through this. It's Friday afternoon. These guys are getting ready to leave on Sunday and Monday, respectively. How much were you chomping at the bit to get to Miami to play in the Super Bowl?
Oh, most definitely chomping at the bit to get to the Super Bowl because it's the ultimate goal, and you're on the cusp of reaching it, of attaining that Super Bowl victory, and you have an opportunity to play in the greatest game, really in the world, at least in the world of football, it's the greatest game. And right now, this previous week, you know, was a week of, you know, really installing the game plan, the bulk of the game plan, and you know, just getting familiarized with the team, the opponent that you're getting ready to go against. So it's actually almost a normal work week, and this is really the time where you are able to get ahead. And, you know, that's what those guys have done all week. I'm sure they've really gotten ahead, got in deep on their film study because, you know, once you get down to the site, you know, it's really busy. A lot of media things going on. You have the hotel, you have family. So you really want to have your game plan fully installed, and then you just kind of iron out the details. So, you know, today those guys, those are the things that they're doing. This will probably be the final day of preparation for this week. You know, a light practice, maybe helmet, shell, something like that, and then get ready to go down to the actual site. You know, take part in all of the festivities, activities with the media day, different events that are going on. But also at the same time, I say all that to say, you know, staying focused on the task at hand, which is ultimately to go out there and win the Super Bowl.
Hey, Marlon, it's Dog. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing real well. Hey, how many phone calls from friends and family for tickets did you get immediately upon making it to the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, you get a ton of requests immediately, but, I mean, definitely, you know, those tickets are for, you know, close, tight-knit circle of family members, circle of friends. You know, some people may ask, but they're really, you know, in all actuality, they know that they don't have a chance of getting them. But yeah, that's every ticket really in the NFL for a player. You have family, you have friends, you have cousins you haven't seen in years that want tickets.
Marlon, what's the best part of playing in a Super Bowl? Is it the notoriety, the free meals, all the swag? And what's the worst part about playing in the Super Bowl? All the waiting around, the media, the weird schedules, just the best and worst part about that 2 weeks.
The best part, just the atmosphere, the build-up. Just the best part is just being in the game itself. Like, you know, like I said, it's the ultimate goal for each and every team as we set out upon each and every year. Is the ultimate objective is to make it to the Super Bowl. So just to be there in that atmosphere and the game itself, and let me say this, the confetti dropping is the best part.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely say that. The worst part, just a little bit of the hoopla, really, you know, having to deal with family and balance,
yeah.
The schedule and being able to spend some quality time, because it is work. You know, there's really not a lot of time for play, but you do want to enjoy some aspects of things with your family, because it is a special time for everyone. So just trying to balance that schedule.
We're talking to Marlon Jackson, former Colt, former Super Bowl champion. I want to talk to you about a guy who's playing in that game. And did you play against anyone that kind of fit his mold? I'm talking about the quarterback of the 49ers that will burn you with his feet as well as his arm, Colin Kaepernick. Have you ever played against a guy similar that you remember in the NFL?
You know, nowadays, it's so many quarterbacks that have this skill set. But, you know, back in the day, it was really just, you know, Michael Vick, you know, was the only one. Now he's not alone. And, you know, you have Kaepernick and RG3. And, you know, Luck is very athletic as well. So I'll say Mike Vick probably was the only guy during my time that created the kind of problems and that Kaepernick creates right now. You know, not only being able to run and being a great runner and being very fast, but having a strong arm and being very accurate, you know, as well. I think that's one of the things that stands out to me the most. Of course, right now, everything that he does stands out because, you know, he's only 10 games. I think it's 10 games in within starting. But I don't think anybody expected him. We knew that he was athletic, but to expect him to be as accurate as he has been, I think that New England Patriot game is really one that stands out for me when I really stood up and took notice of him. And it wasn't only because of the running, but it was more so the pass completions and the accuracy that he was throwing the ball with and the velocity that he was able to spin the ball with. And then I think, you know, the game in the playoffs where he just really erupted and looked like he was just that much faster than everybody on the field. He creates a lot of problems, a lot of fear within defensive coordinators' hearts.
You know, Kaepernick can obviously run. Flacco, though, is going to throw the deep ball many times in this game. It's kind of been his forte. Throws it very, very well. Talk about defending against the deep pass in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's always a threat. You know, with the NFL, being a defensive back is tough. With all the different rules, you can barely touch a receiver and slow him down. With a guy like Joe Flacco, who throws a very nice deep ball, and then you have the deep threat in Torrey Smith, you know, it's a lethal combination. You saw against the Denver Broncos, he's going up against one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL in Champ Bailey, but still he was able to win just about every battle within that and, you know, gain a few big plays.
Marlon Jackson, former Colt, former Philadelphia Eagle, his career cut short by injuries. And Marlon, I'll tell you what, I know you'd still be playing on Sundays if you didn't catch that injury bug, because you were fun to watch, my man.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, that's life sometimes. You never know how things are going to end up. I certainly didn't expect, you know, my career to end as soon as it did. I expected to at least play 10-plus years. But, you know, I'm happy with what I got in and everything that I was able to accomplish. And, you know, it gave me a good base to go forward in my life.
Good deal. Marlon, we're going to check in with you throughout the off season and give us your tidbits and inside information. Enjoy having you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Last Word here on 1070 The Fan. Time to talk some college basketball with Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. We'll do that right after this. This is the Last Word on 1070 The Fan.
The Last Word, presented by Xfinity, returns with Jeffrey Gorman, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, and Matt Taylor from inside the Taco Bell studio.
Time to talk some college basketball here on The Last Word, and we do that with Mike DeCourcy, National College Basketball Insider for the Sporting News and a studio analyst for the Big Ten Network. And let's talk about that Big Ten, Mike. Is this the most elite conference in college basketball in 2013.
Yes, that's exactly the way to put it, too, because when we say that they're the best conference, we're talking about this particular year, not necessarily people get caught up in, well, yeah, but our league won the championship last year or the year. Well, that doesn't matter. We're talking about now. And in March, and this has been the strongest conference by far this season. You're talking about five teams, perhaps, in the league that have Final Four capabilities. It's going to be hard for some of them, but it's never easy. And there are a couple that could win it all. And that's a lot. I wouldn't think that there are many leagues out there that could say they have five teams that have Final Four potential.
Hey, Mike, if you think that IU and Michigan are the elite of the Big Ten, and maybe you don't, but if you think they are, who's the next couple of teams that you think might be able to make some real noise in the NCAA tournament?
Well, you know, I think that Michigan State is a team that has found a great sense of toughness and mental belief. If Minnesota had the same confidence and toughness that Michigan State has, I think they wouldn't be all that far from Indiana and Michigan. But they haven't been able to show that. They've been able to get knocked off their game. Now, some of that comes from the fact that their early road games were really tough. But then they've lost confidence on the road. So then they go to Northwestern, a team that's struggled, that hasn't played very well at home, and is injured and limited. And because they play a difficult style, Minnesota allows itself to be beaten. That's a team that could recover that toughness and be more of a threat by March than it is now. Ohio State, not the best offensive team, and probably not quite as talented per person as Michigan State is, but they have a great sense of toughness. And maybe Aaron Kraft starts to believe in his offense a little bit, and that comes around and they start to play better. Those are the things that can happen for this league. Those are five really good teams right there. I don't think that very many leagues could match that in this particular season.
Mike, you've been down to Bloomington a handful of times to witness Indiana, I know, this season. What have you seen out of them lately that suggests that they may not be the juggernaut that people thought they would be? A lot of people didn't think they'd lose at all this season, but they have some problems. What have you seen out of them lately that suggests that they might just not run away with the Big Ten?
Well, I don't think their problems are huge. I think, first of all, the reason they don't run away from the Big Ten is what we just discussed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they were in another league, if they were in the SEC, I don't think they'd have as great a problem. I mean, they'd only probably have one other team they'd really have to worry about. The problem is the competition, but also I think that what they need to do to be great is they need to believe in their offense. I don't think that they do. I don't think that they always believe in the next pass. Every one of those guys that in almost every rotation they have is a significant Division I scorer, a guy who can get you 18 to 20 on a good night. And that's great, except it has to come naturally as a product of what the offense demands. It can't be on account of, well, you're open, so you shoot it. No, because just because you're open doesn't mean that everybody's in position to rebound if you miss. And even if you're great at shooting, you're going to miss half. So you have to shoot the shot that the offense demands, not the one you want. I don't think they're necessarily being selfish. I think it's more a function of impatience and self-confidence. Eventually, that has to be tamed down to make that next pass, make the one after that, and pretty soon the defense basically has no chance. There are offenses that are gifted enough that if you play it right, the defense's best chance is, gosh, I hope that ball doesn't go in, and I'm going to go try to get myself in position to rebound if it doesn't. And that's what you want to do as a gifted offense. And Indiana's not putting that pressure on teams right now. They're taking the first available decent shot, and then the defense is in position to get the rebound. And the defense is maybe believing you're probably not going to make that shot. There's a less of a percentage you're going to make it because you didn't run the action all the way through.
Talking to Mike DeCourcy, Mike, National College Basketball Insider for the Sporting News, as well as the Big Ten Network.
Hey, Mike, there have been some fabulous games already in the college basketball season. Butler's played in two of them, knocking off IU, and then just this past weekend with just a huge win without Rodney Clark against Gonzaga. Can you give us a rundown of the A-10 and talk about that conference as we try to get ourselves a little bit more familiar with the new conference that Butler plays in?
Well, it's been a very good league for a long time, and because they don't play football, there have been some who've tried to attach the mid-major label to it. It's always been nonsense. I mean, we're talking about the league that that not long ago produced Marcus Camby, that during the 2000s, Xavier's dominated, and with players like David West, who's obviously you guys know very well, is not exactly, he's not exactly a junior leaguer. I mean, we're talking about great, great players in that league. Mark Macon went through there. They've produced multiple NCAA tournament teams on a regular basis, and I'm not talking about two. I'm talking about most often three, four, five. It's a terrific league. You're looking at the strong Philly schools, St. Joe's, Temple. You go down to Virginia now where you've got Richmond and VCU, which played a terrific game on Thursday night. There's still some programs in the league that are holdovers from the very beginning that haven't achieved for a very long time. Duquesne, St. Bonaventure, although they won the league last year, they showed that they still have great ability. That's a tough road trip. Fordham, which has not been good for basically its entire time in the league. So, I mean, you still get some teams out there that aren't quite as accomplished, but I think everybody has a team in its league now and then that's not very good. So I don't think that Duquesne and Fordham should necessarily define who the A-10 is.
Hey, Mike, one last thing before we let you go here. This is kind of a softball to you, may or may not be, but who is the most underrated team in college basketball this year?
Wow. Well, you know, I'd say right now it's UCLA. I got a chance to see them on Thursday night in person against Arizona. They have great ability. They're a little behind because they are so young. Four of their five starters were not on the team last year. One transfer, three freshmen. Shabazz Muhammad had the NCAA investigation that held up his development, his arrival, and he had a preseason shoulder injury that held him out of practice as well. So they weren't at the start of the year what they are today, and I get the feeling that they aren't today what they will be in 6 weeks.
Mike DeCourcy, great stuff. You can listen to him on the Big Ten Network. Also read him and follow what he follows, and that is college basketball, and one of the best in the business. Appreciate the time, Mike. We're coming back with a whole lot more. It's called Clocking Out on The Last Word. Don't go anywhere.
Slave driver to shove that sweatshop right up as
take his job and shove.
Nothing matters but the weekend, weekend.
It's almost 7 on a Friday. This working week is over, baby. Time to clock out on The Last Word, presented by Xfinity. From the Taco Bell studio, here's Jeffrey Gorman, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, and Matt Taylor.
Time to clock out here on The Last Word. We do that with segment 5, and it's a fun one. So put on the seat belt. Make sure you use your turn signals, and let's go, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus. And Forum Credit Union question of the week awaits, and this week's question comes from Rachel DeWitt from Indianapolis. Rachel wants to know, there are 4 NFL teams that have never, ever played in the Super Bowl. Jimmy, can you name them?
I can get a couple for sure. Jaguars.
Yeah.
About that one. They've never been in there. I don't think the Texans, as the Texans, have ever been
obviously
in there.
Obviously not, no.
Right? And so
you got the newbies.
So, yeah. So those were the easy ones. I don't think that the Browns have ever been in the Super Bowl.
They played that AFC Championship game against the Broncos, right?
Yeah, they
with
did
Elway.
That, but they lost that. But I'm saying, did they win?
That was the drive, right?
That was the drive.
Won a Super Bowl. So I think they've won championships when it was.
That's what I mean.
You know, before
but
that.
Once it comes to Super Bowl, that's the, you know, I don't think they have. So somewhere I'd have to look that up.
The answer officially is
yes.
No. They have never
they
played
have not.
In
so
a
I've
Super
gotten
Bowl.
3 of the 4.
You have.
Can you just go out on a limb? I know the answer, so I'm not going to go out for number 4.
Think about where Jeffrey's from.
No.
That'll give you a hint.
No. Think about Alex.
The Lions, really?
Think about
the
Alex
Lions.
Perry. How about that?
Would be the Lions.
It is. How about that?
Wow.
They have been playing for organized football since 1887
wow.
And still haven't won anything.
Now that comes as a surprise.
I'm a little young.
No, it doesn't.
Well, I just by longevity, right? I guess I would put the Browns in that.
Longevity and futility.
Lions, Jaguars, Browns, and Texans. You are correct. Thanks to Rachel DeWitt for writing us in. Now it's time to remember when. This date in history, January 25th. I'll say what it is. You give me a ballpark on the year. The first Winter Olympic Games were inaugurated isolated in the French Alps. No chance.
Actually, it's in the 1920s. I do know
you
that.
You have no chance.
It's in the 20s.
First Winter Olympic Games.
Well, think about this, dog. It's got to be in the 20s, and it's got to be an even year. Because it's every 4 years.
All right. I'll go 28.
I'll say 24.
24 is correct.
1924.
That's what you call critical thinking.
There you go. Play the scratch-offs. You name the year, remember when, this date in history, January 25th, the defense gave its opening statement in the O.J. trial.
1994.
No, this would have been 95.
How do you know that?
I was on the air every day back
then. Oh, and you were covering that left and right.
Yeah. Oh, so the murder happened in 94, and then it didn't go to trial until the next year.
I was out there at the time. I was watching that thing. I was out in Southern California when it happened. I remember the chase. And Jimmy, I'm going to say, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I did take a drive by the townhome that this incident occurred.
Really, did you?
I
did.
You saw the gate and everything?
I saw everything. Nice. Yep. Yeah. And you know what? This was almost 6 months after the crime. And it was still just a
roundabout. I was on the air when they're chasing the Bronco around and trying to
reiterate that.
Just let everybody know what was going on. Mm-hmm. It was a Friday because we were getting ready to go to spring break. That's how I remember it.
That put a damper on your trip down south, huh?
No, we were just looking for that. Kids, keep your eye open for that white Bronco.
There's one. Padiddle.
Yeah. Instead of counting the A's and the B's and the C's on the sides, we're looking for white Broncos.
Let him play through.
Counted 13 on the way from here to Fort Myers.
Let him play through in a golf course, a municipal golf course, public golf course.
Roll on.
Let him play through. I swear to you. Let him play through.
We are good.
Good stuff, boys. It's time now to let it ride.
It's prediction time. Throw the dice, boys, and let it ride.
How about this? Dog, 5-0 last week.
Undefeated.
Taylor, you're 4-1.
If it's not for a bad inbounds pass by Gonzaga, I am 5-0. They literally threw that game away.
I am also 4-1, folks, but I'm going to be honest with you. I picked them out of a hat. Let's start. Who you got in the following games? Jimmy Mad Dog Matus. Bloomington South taking on number 5 ranked Pike.
Pike's the real deal. I'm going with Pike.
Pike 13-2.
Pike wins it against Bloomington South. Next up, number 14 Lawrence North at Fishers. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Fishers in this one. Lawrence North is very, very good. Fishers playing very well. I'm going to go with Fishers.
I'll go with Lawrence North. They probably play a tougher schedule inside the MIC. I'm going with the visitors tonight.
I will also go with the visitors and take Lawrence North. We're going to the college ranks. Number 9, Butler Bulldogs, taking on a very tough Temple team. That game Saturday at 6 p.m. By the way, Rodney Clark will play in tomorrow's game after missing 3 with a neck sprain. Who you got, dog?
Butler. It is. You play Temple. It's a weird style of play. Mm-hmm. You've got to be on top of your game. Nobody coaches better than Coach Stevens. I'm going to go with Butler.
I'll go with Butler, but they're going to have some more help off of their bench. They had just 4 points off the pine against LaSalle, and that's a big reason why they lost by 1.
Okay, I am taking Temple at home against Butler, and if you hate me for saying that and you're driving in your car on 465.
Foolish move, my friend.
Sorry about that, but Temple is going to knock off the Butler Bulldogs. That's just my take. Pacers at the Jazz, 9:30 on Saturday night. Dog, who you got?
Pacers.
I'll take Pacers as well, coming off a bad loss to Portland. They killed the Jazz the first time they played it here at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. I'll take the Pacers.
I kind of like Hayward now. That one.
Or is wow. like well, on this show,
Devil's
you have
advocate.
The right to be wrong.
I'm just saying, I'm going to take the home team.
It's your show. You might as well look.
I'm going to say it's the Jazz. Remember I said that. Temple followed by, as I like to call him, Gordy Lightfoot, which is Golden Hayward, though. Yeah. But, I mean, that will happen. Now we're moving on to some very important stuff. You better know your answers here, dog. We're talking about the Pro Bowl. The AFC taking on the NFC.
Well, I will be getting ready for the Pro Bowl. We'll have people over. It will be a great day, and I'm going with the AFC.
I'll go indifferent. Do I have to vote on this one?
Yes.
I'll take the NFC then.
You'll take the National Football. I will also take the AFC. Luck.
I'm taking the Schaub. NFC just because I need to make up that one game to get on dog's level.
There you go.
We talked about it earlier with Mike DeCourcy from the Big Ten Network. Indiana playing Michigan State Sunday at 1 o'clock. Dog?
I think Indiana wins. I think Indiana gets out in front of that very good Michigan State defense.
Yeah, I think Cody Zeller needs to have a better game. He only had 2 points against Penn State on Wednesday. Michigan State is average by Michigan State standards, so I'm looking for the Hoosiers to roll at home.
Michigan State average?
By Michigan State standards.
Dare you talk about Tom Izzo? They got three losses on the year. Come on. I got Tom Izzo taking on
Wow, you're just going to be wrong a lot.
I am.
Are you moving out of the state?
I'm taking Sparty. How about the Boilermakers taking on Iowa?
I talked about them last week. I think Purdue is going to be very, very good very, very soon. They're playing hard. They played very well in the first half against Michigan the other day. I'm going to go with Purdue.
I'm going to go with Iowa. They are a very difficult team to play at home. They just beat Wisconsin, who beat Indiana, so I think they have that going for them in their favor, and I think that Iowa's going to beat Purdue on Sunday.
Purdue does it here. I like Purdue.
Very good. I knew you
Matt Taylor says Purdue don't. So, hey, what you doing this weekend, dog? Give it to me quick.
No, I'll be spending most of the weekend getting ready for the Pro Bowl, you know? Don't go
Friday
and
make
some phone calls, getting everything stocked up and ready to go. It's all about the Pro Bowl. It'll start with the IU
Taylor,
game,
what do you
though.
Got?
Not going to watch the Pro Bowl. Probably watch a marathon of Pawn Stars.
Oh, yeah.
Got it loaded on my DVR.
You remind me a little bit of Chumlee, actually. You do. You really do. You really do look like
Chumlee. What are you looking to get out of it, guy?
Let's have one of those guys on. That'll be some good stuff. Fellas, if you believe me, I know you won't, but I'm going to two auctions this weekend, two of them.
What are you looking for?
Just, you know, that golden ticket, man. If I see it and I say, oh, that strikes it. I got itches. I got to scratch them.
What would you scratch them? It might be a bid.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I saw Dick Van Dyke.
Your wallet might be mad at you.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Boys, we do it every week right here on 1070 The Fan. We just clocked out. This is the last word for Jimmy Mad Dog Matus. Matt Taylor, I'm Jeffrey Gorman. We're going to talk to you again next week.